You may be seated. I'm going to ask you to sit for the scripture reading this week because it's a mere 24 verses, so you might want to sit. Don't want anybody passing out, having to call the ambulance, delaying the service, you know. We don't want any of that. Before I read the scripture, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Almighty and all-knowing Father, we thank you for the blessing of your inspired, inerrant word, Lord. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit upon us that we would be given discernment, that we can only know the word through God the Holy Spirit. You tell us that. And we ask for an anointing of God the Holy Spirit so that we would hear and see what you desire to reveal about yourself and about this world, about the unseen realm, about ourselves, Lord. We pray that we would be submissive to the message. And may it be your message, Lord, and not mine, and may I not get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the scripture is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 24. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 1027. You're using a large print, it's on page 1613. Starting the first verse. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. I'm going to talk about that number 72 during the message. And sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. Go!" Exclamation mark. "I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Hence the title of today's message, "Satan Fell." "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. If I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, if you're like me, it seems that the more I read my Bible, the more questions I have. Can you relate to that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't think that I've ever been any more immersed in Scripture than I am right now. For our faith life guided prayer each day, there are about a dozen different scriptures that we read. And then for our Lord's Supper service on Tuesday night, if you're here for that, you know that we have our four lectionary readings, and then we cover those during Bible study after that. And those of us that are reading through the Bible in a year together are using the chronological reading plan. So we've been through about 11 chapters of Genesis, and this morning up through chapter 39 of Job. All right. Plus, I have my regular short devotional that I do, and then I also have a devotional, a weekly devotional, for the Upward basketball program. Oh yeah, and then there's that little thing called sermon preparation. So a lot in the Scripture, and of course, a lot of information and motivation and movement of God in that, and a lot of questions answered. And questions that are brought up. Now, I have some questions for you that are connected with today's reading from Luke. Though at first it might not be evident to you. You'll find them on page 5 of your bulletin. They are the sermon questions listed there. And you can take them home and work on them. I'm not going to answer all of them today, but we will cover them in the coming weeks. Here's a question for you. What is the serpent doing in the Garden of Eden? And in Job 1 and 2, we find Satan in the divine counsel of God. What do you think about that? An account of the Tower of Babel, was that just an explanation about why we have different languages? Or there's something more? What is really going on in the temptations of Jesus after his baptism? And then looking at our current events, we have a conflict with Iran, right? And fires in Australia, a volcanic eruption in the Philippines, earthquakes in Puerto Rico. Maybe something's going on, right? We have some states trying to abolish abortion while other states are trying to make it easier than ever. And there's growing discord in our nation and even in our denomination, right? Is there any connection? What is your spirit telling you? Not your feelings, but your spirit. North Koreans, you can see them down in the front. They bow to the statue of their late supreme leaders, Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. Right? Does that remind you of anything in the Bible? Yeah? I hope it does. Daniel 3:1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Boy, it's a shame there isn't anything applicable to modern life in the Bible. Right? No less than 75% of North Koreans who are persecuted die for their faith. That's according to the North Korean defectors. Will we still be Christians when we are persecuted? This is Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini. This is not a statue, but it's pretty close to it, isn't it? Right? But there's a lot of stuff going on in Iran. If you're paying attention to the news, Iran has the world's fastest growing church, Christian church. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing that God is working in that nation? They don't have any buildings, and it's mostly led by women. There's a documentary called Sheep Among Wolves, right? Luke 10:3 that we just read, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Did you know there's protests going on in Iran right now? According to the BBC, just January 30th, was that Friday? Well, today's the 19th, so this was, The latest anti-government demonstrations sweeping Iran arguably pose the most serious challenge to the administration of any in 40 years. Something is happening, right? In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So, Daniel chapter 4, I encourage you to go back and read the whole thing. I'm going to give you a quick review of the cosmic clash between good and evil. So, after fasting and praying for 3 weeks, Daniel has this vision. It was a heavenly creature who looked like a man, but he was adorned in gold. His body was like crystal light, his face like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches, arms and legs gleamed like burnished bronze with a powerful voice. And this heavenly creature tells Daniel he would have come sooner, but he was in battle with the prince of the Persian kingdom. He even needed the help of the archangel Michael to battle this cosmic king of Persia. This tells us in no uncertain terms that there is an ongoing battle by celestial beings that relates directly to what happens here on earth. I'm going to support that with more information here in a minute, but I think that this is still going on. So Governor Murphy, he gave his State of New Jersey address on January 14th. What was that, Tuesday last week? You can read what he says there. It's about protecting a woman's fundamental and constitutional right to full reproduction freedom, reproductive freedom. So let's commit to codifying a woman's full reproductive rights in state law. Huh. Well, let's see what the Bible says. In the account of Eve having her first child, this is the first recorded birth in the Bible, Eve said, God gave me a man. Right? Over and over again in Scripture, it is crystal clear that the Lord is responsible for conception. And when we intervene in that, we are intervening in God's will. You will never see in Scripture an endorsement of Governor Murphy's idea of reproductive freedom. Never in Scripture. But on the other hand, Jesus called Satan a liar and a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning. If you want to know how evil or when evil is acting or when forces of darkness are at work, when they change the meaning of words, they're deceiving. There's a red flag for you. Be very wary. What is it in truth? He's pushing abortion on demand. He wants to model New Jersey after New York. We're already bad enough, but he wants to take us to the extreme, right? And in truth, what is he talking about? Murdering babies. I posted on the bulletin board a call to action for reaching out to our state leadership. It's on the bulletin board in the lobby and also in Higbee Hall. Change. Everybody loves change, right? Yeah. Change comes whether we want it or not. Now, I took this picture from an article on, I think it was the United Methodist News website. Most of you probably know that the United Methodist Church's traditional plan was supported and voted in last March. It came into effect on January 1st of this year. So wouldn't you know that there is now many plans being promoted for amicable separation and division of our denomination. This change is coming. It is inevitable. But will it be for God or will it be for the prince of this world? What forces are at work even within the church? There's also a lot of conflict in the Catholic Church over the leadership of Pope Francis. There are people in the church, there are enemies of God in the church. Beware. Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." When did Jesus see Satan fall? You know, when he sent the disciples out, while they were out healing people and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, as the spirits were cast out, Satan fell from heaven. He and his angels were cast down from heaven like lightning. It was a powerful cosmic event. Satan no longer has access to the divine counsel of God like he did with Job and like he did when he stood beside Joshua accusing him. Things have changed. The dynamics are different. Satan no longer can be your accuser in heaven. He can be the accuser in your own life, though. But what do you say to him? "Get behind me, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." There is a great significance in this proclamation by Jesus that Satan has fallen. It is the beginning of the end for the devil. Right? Read the last chapter. Read the last book of the Bible. See how it ends. Right? Jesus replied, "I have given you authority to overcome the enemy." Disciples of Jesus were given sufficient authority to overcome the evil one. I've told you before that in our Lord's Prayer, in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, instead of saying, "and protect us from evil," they say, "and protect us from the evil one." Right? Satan. Well, does this giving of this power and authority, does it apply to modern day disciples? I have not come to a conclusive decision about this. I need to research the scriptures more. But certainly, he has given us authority in a different way. We are empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. Every believer has God, the Holy Spirit within us. And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have been empowered and made secure and sealed by God the Holy Spirit. So we do have an authority. More to come on that. Stay tuned. Next week, same bat channel. Right? Same bat time. Okay, why did Jesus say, he says 70 here, right? Doesn't say 72. Okay, so a lot of scholarly debate, and I'm not going to bore you with all the details that pastors like to read about, whether it's 70 or 72. There are ancient texts that say 70. There are ancient texts that say 72. I think the arguments are much stronger for the 70, and most of the prominent English translations that I reference do use the word 70, and I will tell you why I think it's 70 in a very brief way. In Genesis 10, it gives the table of nations. And if we had more time, I would have you open up to Genesis 10 and go through there. It lists all the nations in Genesis 10. And if you count them up, there are 70. So another homework assignment for you. So I believe that there was 70, and the number of disciples sent was deliberately 70. We'll get more into that in a second. Okay, Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. You're all fairly familiar with the general outline of that story. But we're going to investigate that more fully either next week or the week after. Right, they try to reach, the people get together and they try to reach heaven. And this displeases God that they're not following his plan, that mankind is making up his own plan. Boy, that never happens, right? Right. So God confuses them by confusing their language, right? And then he disperses them. He dispersed the people of the 70 nations. Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 and 9 is the key verse for this understanding all this. When the Most High, which is Yahweh, the God of gods, no one in heaven like Yahweh, he gave to the nations, the seven nations, their inheritance when he divided mankind. This is referring to Babel. He fixed the borders of the people according to the number of the sons of God. Sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, his allotted heritage. So God said, you know what? You guys have upset the apple cart again. I'm not happy with you again. Right? So I am dividing you up. And I am putting the sons of God. Notice it's plural, sons. In charge of you. But I'm done with you for now. As being your primary leader. And I'm going to call my own people. The people of Jacob. Which of course is Israel. Okay, so, and you can write down Psalm 82 and go to that to validate my claim here that this is what he's talking about. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods, sons of gods, little g gods. All right? That's Psalm 82. You can go there. But what are the sons of God? All right. Here's a definition by Dr. Michael S. Heiser in a book called The Unseen Realm. All right. In the ancient Semitic world, sons of God, which is Hebrew from B'nai Elohim, it's a phrase used to identify divine beings with higher level responsibilities or jurisdiction. The term angel, malak, Hebrew word malak, describes an important but still lesser task delivering messages. Unseen realm, recovering the supernatural worldview of the Bible. All right. So in Job 38, which was the reading for this morning, one of those divine coincidences, right? I had looked this up beforehand, and then lo and behold, I see that it's right there in this morning's reading. God speaks to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were the bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Probably haven't heard a whole lot about the sons of God. We'll talk a little bit more in the weeks to come. What is the primary message of the 70? The kingdom of God is near. Why is it near? Because Satan has fallen and a new movement has happened. The Lord is reclaiming the world, the nations, right? Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Abraham's going to be he's going to be blessed so he can be a blessing to the nations. And the Savior has come. And he is established. When he started preaching, Jesus started saying, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is near, right? Because the enemy is on the run. And if you were the enemy in Satan's camp, and you know what's going to happen, aren't you going to try and do everything you can to delay that as long as possible? That is what's happening in our world. That is the reality if we only have eyes to see it. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And what do we sing today for the anthem? Here I am, Lord, send me. Will you go out as a disciple of the Lord Jesus? He says, go with an exclamation mark. But he also tells them to pack lightly. Right. Okay, Lord. I'll go and speak to them. I'll go and do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll serve in that ministry. But I got this whole trunk of stuff I got to bring with me. No. Don't let anything hold you back from serving God in whatever capacity He calls you to serve. This does not necessarily mean going to Nigeria, right? Maybe it means going to your neighbor or to the local community center to serve in any capacity, one of the local schools. Some will welcome you, but you know, some won't welcome you. You'll be rejected. Don't feel bad about it. A couple of people rejected Jesus too, right? When he stood before them, performed the miracles, still some did not believe. And there will be judgment. Jesus says this. You know, our not being disrespectful here, Lord, but our fuzzy, loving Jesus says that there will be judgment. Let us not lose grip of that truth. Everyone will come before the judgment throne and bow before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Scripture says it. It's not my idea. I didn't make it up. The Word says that. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I hope that you have seen it. I hope maybe this morning, if you haven't seen it before, you've gotten a little glimpse of what's going on. Have you seen the truth? Isn't the battle evident to all of us? Look around in your life. Watch the news. There is a cosmic clash happening. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, the apostle John saw a vision. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his archangels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled down to earth, and his angels with him. My friends, I commission you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The battle is on. Amen. Let us pray. Good and glorious Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that your light takes off the blinders of darkness and doubt and speaks into our life. Lord, when we have a biblical view of the world, we begin to see what's really going on. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, equip us in every way, that we be given all power and authority over our own lives in serving you and becoming true disciples that make disciples of Jesus Christ, of joining in the battle against the enemy. That we know that we are being attacked because the enemy cannot attack you directly, he attacks us. We pray that God's word would go to the ends of the earth, that it would not return void, as you promise, and that our Lord would come again for a new heaven and new earth. Let us be soldiers of Christ. I pray this all in his name, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.